All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects. God, for a minute there, I almost went, and the Blitz is on! Since we had a little stuff going on today, having some fun internally with everything going on here at the station.
What
Nick's
up?
Here, Barry's here, everybody's present and accounted for. What's going on, fellas?
My headphones aren't working. So, it's Nick, nice if you talk, always, I can't hear you.
You always find this out, like, last minute. Do you need a pair?
Sure. I'll
the
grab
the pink
those.
Ones are available.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So, Nick, what's going on?
What up, dude?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood if you're a Wisconsin alum after last night. Boy, I wasn't holding my breath too much, but we'll get into a little bit of the baseball and football festivities along the way. Other than that, did I miss anything in the last 24 hours once we all departed pleasantly from a show yesterday?
And not from me.
No? New car is riding well?
Huh?
New car is riding well?
New car is great. Can't complain. Things are looking up. I just went home, took a sleeping pill, and crashed out. Didn't watch a lot of sports. Didn't do a lot of anything, really.
Didn't miss a whole lot.
Yeah, well, I could see why you would stay up, but
yeah,
for the rest of the country, no one cared as much.
I had a stake in the games, so
a
to
little
speak.
Bit, yeah.
So I did peep both of those. But other than that, Nick, anything fun and exciting?
No, not at all. I'm not a big fan of this cold weather. It's cold enough
see,
for me.
See, it got to him. I told you he doesn't like the cold weather.
It's like, what, 59 degrees out?
Cold enough.
It's not cold.
I think it's like mid-50s.
I can't believe this is cold to you. In fact, when I went to go get Subway today, I can't tell you how many. I think people were looking at me strange because I'm wearing just a t-shirt.
Oh, now you're bragging because you have the short sleeve.
And no, I mean, people were outside in jackets and Uggs and.
Houstonians don't like cold weather. We're not used to it.
I get it, but this is as a texter said yesterday, this isn't a cold front. This is a cool front.
Okay.
Holler at me when it's in the 30s.
I'm with you. It'll be cold. I mean, we talked about this yesterday. I'm with you 150%. Although I will say I get it to some extent if you've been in other places in the country and realize humidity plays a big part in it being feeling colder than what the temperature is. But having grown up where I grew up, it's a different feeling when it's really cold.
Yeah.
This is mild. This is mild and it's comfortable.
I came in with the windows down in the car. Sweating.
Other than just under your armpits?
I mean, it was hot.
Okay. I'm with you on the windows down thing, but
it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Not on the highway, but I mean, other than that, yeah, I'm good with it.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. I mean, I don't turn the AC on or the heat on. I just had the windows closed and drove all the way without any climate control. That's how I did it.
So you roughed it.
So it wasn't like hot. Like it wasn't like the heater was.
You roughed it. You didn't have heat. You didn't have cold.
Nope.
You just kept it all natural.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Super. Boy, this show's off to a fantastic start.
I feel like Joel's waiting on you to have some sort of story.
Exactly. I'm not.
I really am not. Normally the foreplay comes from Mr. Laminack. I was expecting there
normally
to be more.
Normally it does,
but
he has nothing to say.
I went home last night and went to bed. What do you want me to make something up?
No.
I mean, Nick's going to go boxing with me today. I'm excited about that.
Vortex.
Yeah.
We're
going to go do the rumble class.
You hit the heavy bag?
I whatever they need me to
came
hit.
Super prepared. Brought all his stuff. Didn't forget anything.
I forgot my boxing gloves, my shoes.
So you've boxed before?
My wraps, yeah.
Because a lot of people say that there's a certain technique to throwing punches and that some people go in there and don't have it. Is that true?
Well, there's the technique to throw a punch, but they teach you that at the beginning of the class. They go through how to turn the jab over, how to do all the. It was one of the things I was surprised about because I was skeptical that it was going to be more Taibo than boxing. It's legit boxing. They show you how to slip. They show you how to roll with punches. They show you how to throw uppercuts and hooks and the right way so that when you're hitting the heavy bag, one, you're not going to hurt yourself. Two, you're throwing it the right way and getting that workout. I'm anxious to see, though, because you didn't bring shoes. And the first time we went, Jordan didn't bring shoes, so we had to do it in his socks.
Did it make it more difficult?
Yeah. It's slippery. It's on a mat.
Yeah.
Can you go barefoot?
Yeah, you can probably go barefoot.
That's a sanitary mess.
No, I mean, if you think about it, like a lot when I was training Muay Thai, it was most everybody in the gym is barefoot on the mats and whatnot.
You were okay with that?
I mean, that's how it is.
Sanitary wise, I'm just wondering if you of all people would be okay with it.
I mean, if the gym
it.
Is not clean, it could be an issue for sure.
Well, I can tell you at Vortex, it's spotless.
Right.
I mean, they after every show, after every class, they clean the mats, the bags. I'm telling you, your favorite part is going to be, and I'm not making this up, once you're done with the class, you're going to be exhausted and tired and you'll like it. But when you walk out, there's someone standing there with a basket full of cold towels. They're wet and cold to put on your face and stuff to cool off with, and they smell like I don't know, like lavender.
You said lavender,
or something.
Yeah, I remember.
So
you saying
they're so fancy.
Yeah,
it's so fancy. It's just like yeah,
built
that's
in
my favorite
fluffers
part.
With cold towels.
Built-in fluffers.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's like when people come off the set a lot of times and they have the people standing there with a.
That's not what I understood a fluffer would be.
You know, maybe there's a little bit more to it. But
I mean, a fluffer is something else,
I don't want
right?
that job, though. I don't want to be the guy that takes all the sweaty people and goes, here's your cold towel.
But no, it's just cold. Somebody like an employee in Sebastian.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm just kidding. But so you, the experienced boxer, though, you're aside from just the fact that they teach you, you got guys that have actually been in the fight game, right?
Yeah, Trey, the guy that teaches the class on Tuesdays, was an Olympic alternate.
That's very
and
cool.
And boxed in the Army. And boxed for a very long time. So, in fact, I talked to him about maybe coming on when we have boxing matches coming up, big cards to maybe help us break it down and talk a little boxing. So
that's very cool.
Yeah, but he knows his stuff.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, definitely teaching you boxing, but getting you in shape. So you'll like it, especially since you boxed. And you're probably more of a purist than some. So
I mean, I've only had the lessons at MMA gyms, so it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah,
but tomorrow should be an interesting feedback from boxing class today because yeah. I imagine you're going to be sore.
And I told him I wouldn't record it or make fun of him. I'm not going to do either of those.
We'll see.
I mean, I might make fun of you a little
what
bit.
What time is no, the class again?
5:30.
Okay. So why? Is the ESPN listeners welcome?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would love for some of the listeners to come out and try it and get in on the action and see if it's for you.
Sparring
I'm telling you,
afterwards,
man,
they have a ring you guys could spar with listeners.
Boy, that would be great.
Yeah.
Because some people will ask, well, is boxing really a good workout? One of the things all you have to do is, have you ever seen a boxer? Like, yeah. Have you ever seen a boxer? Most of those guys are in really good shape.
It's definitely
now,
a good workout.
Now,
I'm not questioning
Butterbean
that.
And a few of those cats aren't necessarily. But you can make that case in every sport, right?
Now, George Foreman wasn't exactly ripped up, but he held a punch that could knock you on your rear end in a hurt.
Most heavyweights were not in shape, let's be real. But yeah. When you talk about the average person, it's a really good workout. Speaking of that, did you see my tweet last night about Milwaukee?
No.
I had this epiphany. When I was watching some of the game, as I'm dozing off, what's the big guy's name?
I did see it because I responded to it. You and Tyler were going back and forth on that.
Well, all I said was, it seems like Milwaukee every year has
Jesus.
A fat hitter.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Is it Aguilera?
Yeah, I believe so. Aguilar. But Milwaukee every year seems like they have a fat slugger. Am I crazy or is that
no,
true?
No, I went through them. I started listening
you
to them
were
for
like,
you guys because
oh,
two of them were ex-Astros. Chris Carter
yeah.
was one of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I responded to that tweet and started throwing them out there for you guys because there was Rob Deere. I didn't know how far you wanted to go back because there was Ted Simmons and Sal Bando, but then there was Rob Deere, Chris Carter, lots of big Matt Stair.
Wasn't Fielder there for a
yeah,
while?
Yeah, Prince Fielder.
Yeah,
They always have at least one guy that looks like he could tilt the diamond just by shifting positions on the field.
Why is that? Why does Milwaukee always have
a
fat slugger?
It's a good meat and potatoes beer drink in town. That's what.
So they're like, get somebody that we can that we could see ourselves being.
You realize when they go to like Los Rockets, you realize that there's Cervezas. So basically, it's all about beer, and that fits the image. And if it helps that he can put him over the fence every now and then too. But boy, I'll tell you what, you talk about a hero that was there. Prince was a hero in Milwaukee,
yeah.
And then he wanted to get out because he wanted the big, big money, and he wanted to get to a different town. But he has said time and time again, his time in Milwaukee was fantastic. And remember that year that they had him and CeCe Sabathia? They had two of those guys.
Yeah.
But boy, that was their two best team guys. Until this year.
Yeah.
So interesting to see what happens in that series. But Wisconsin well you, represented though. Last
yeah.
night.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I got to tell you, I did not feel good about that football game the entire night.
You should
night.
Not have. You should be worried about the Packers.
I am.
The fact that they only beat the Niners by three would worry me as a Packers fan.
Worse than that. They should not have won. Their defense is awful. Yeah. And you better thank your lucky stars you have 12 behind center all the time.
A lot of yards on the ground gained by the Niners, and it should not have been that.
And if you're a Texans fan, God, you wish you had Kyle Shanahan back. Because that dude is a genius offensively.
He's
innovative, and he gets it done, and he's effective. So, plenty to talk about today on the show. The HR&P listener line wide open, 713-780-3776. That means you text that number. That means you can also call that number, and you can also reach out and touch us via the tweets. It's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Before we get to all that, I do want to tell you about the good people at Hawk Security. Been telling you about them for quite a while now. Hawk Security does it the right way because there's no worse feeling in the world than knowing that your residence has been broken into. Hopefully your family is safe, but you know your personal belongings have been rifled through and a lot of times they've been taken, and you want to be able to prevent that. Well, you need to call Hawk Security, 281-947-HAWK. Hawk Security and their smart home automation system can give you peace of mind knowing your family and your home are protected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They know how to do it and do it right. 281-947-HAWK is all you do, and you call and they come to you. They specialize in not only straight security systems for burglary and intrusion, they also have video surveillance, life safety, and fire detection. You take advantage of this special offer right now. The first 100 people to call in and mention the promo code NATE, N-A-T-E, will get a free doorbell camera and free installation that goes with the Hawk Smart Home Package. It's a saving of $400. Who doesn't want to save $400 while making sure everything in their life is protected? 281-947-HAWK, 281-947-4295. Take advantage of that special offer and protect what matters most today with Hawk Security, hawksecurity.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Five. We always remind you as well to download the app. Therefore, you can take us anywhere and everywhere all the time. You guys are always checking in, and you're great about telling us where you are and where you're listening from, and we appreciate that. You can go to ESPN975.com. You can download that app. You can also check the podcast if there's ever a time you miss anything on the show, but we always encourage you that that's the place to go for everything and anything when you're talking about ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
You know, I every week, because we have to do, well, one, because I'm starting to wager on games occasionally on my bookie, but also because we have to do the picks with Fred and AJ because, you know, they felt the need to embarrass the rest of us because they do it. So I had to really get on my game, right? I've been toiling along like my first week. I keep track of all the picks. I know that shocks you guys that I have a spreadsheet for every week and all that. But my first week I went 10-5, and then ever since then, I mean, it's been like 8-6, 6-10, 8-7. This was my best week. I went 12-3 in the entire for all of the picks, which partially explains why I went 5-0 in our pick'em. Got lucky because the one game I went with AJ was Chiefs Patriots. I took the Chiefs in the 3.5.
The extra half point was
got
big.
Yeah, the hook finally worked to my advantage this time. Still suck at college. I can't like. I took the Buffs in the +7. That was a mistake.
I won both of my picks AJ said he and I and Jerry Bowe were the only three that were 2-0 last week.
Good for you.
But I made the picks. I was leaving the house to go to the gym on Saturday morning, and my wife's like, what are you doing? And I went, I forgot I didn't put my picks in for AJ, and I got to get him in otherwise because all the college games are starting. And I just kind of raced through it. I think that's my best philosophy from now on. I'm just going to race through it, yeah. Rifle through, whatever gut feeling, two picks, go with it.
There you go.
Aggies covered.
Is that who you took
the Aggies in college at South Carolina, okay. And took the Falcons to cover the 3 or 3.5 against the Buccaneers, and they did that.
There you go.
So those helped. So everybody's talking about this game 3 coming up and the rest of this series between the Astros and the Red Sox. Wanted to get your opinion on if you saw it, and I know you did. I think we kind of discussed it a little bit prior to the show, but Alex Bregman... How far is too far? Because last night he went on Instagram and decided to post a video of the montage of the Nathan Uvalde when he was pitching for the Rays, giving up back-to-back-to-back home runs against the Astros this season. And, of course, everyone saw it, and it became a topic for both sides yesterday.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think the Red Sox are obviously pretty sensitive about being trolled because it's happened before.
The whole New York, New York thing.
Yeah, but they asked AJ Hinch about it, and I loved his answer. He talked a little bit about it, but he addressed it in only the way that AJ Hinch can address it.
Just wondering, do you have a, I mean, you know what baseball is trying to do, trying to get the young kids into it, have a little more fun. Is there a line for you between friendly trolling and something that would incite your opponent?
That's the first question I've ever had in my career that has the word trolling in it.
I'm honored.
Is that it? Yeah, no, it's good. Welcome to, you know, the current generation. I obviously there's fun banter. You know, you go back and you hear the New York, New York in the Boston, in the New York series. You get the different tweets and the different Instagram posts, and it's all in good fun. And we have a sport full of great personalities. And there's a fine line. Yeah, is it disrespectful? No. If it crosses a line. If you have to question whether it crosses the line, it probably does. And so I don't look any further into that. We want guys to have their personalities, have their fun. Then you got to go out and back it up. If you are going to put yourself out there, you got to back it up a little bit. But this is all in fun banter and competition. And we're playing a baseball game against really good team in front of millions and millions of people. Let your personality shine a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm with him on that because he talks about that's the concern I have. Like, I think it's funny and I think it's all great and it doesn't bother me that he does it. And that's Bregman. Now, we know Bregman is a guy that's going to talk a little mess. He's got a little bit of swag to him. But the thing about it is exactly what AJ Hinch said. If you're going to do it, you have to be prepared to back it up. And that's why what happened in New York, leaving Fenway to the song New York, New York. Now it kind of looks, you kind of look stupid. Because you did that, like you went on the road and stole one, and then you still lost the series. So that's the only concern. But I don't think I heard somebody saying it, and I don't remember if it was Cora or somebody else, but they were basically saying, look, if you need something like that to get you motivated for an AL Championship Series game, you're probably in the wrong business. Bulletin board material aside, I think it was funny, but he better be prepared now. And he might get hit.
He's already gotten hit once.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people are saying, well, he did it because he wants them to pitch to him. Pitched because he's been walked more than anybody in the series. But look, it's been an advantage. He's been on base a lot. That's what he's supposed to do. Regardless, he's getting to where he needs to go, at least to start with, by getting on base. His post has since been deleted, but of course the proof is out there. And as much as I don't think this is going to affect the two managers because there's just too much mutual respect between Alex Cora and AJ Hinch, and obviously they're going to say the right things, it's obviously affected the Red Sox because first baseman Steve Pierce came out and said he was surprised by Bregman's reaction. He better back it up, and he says, we do our talking on the field. If he wants to run his mouth now, we'll see who's talking at the end of the series. So... Well, I think it's fired some people up. And you know what? He had to know that it was going to. Regardless if it was playful banter and just kidding around or not, you're not friends with everybody on the other team, and Pierce obviously took exception to it. So there's a little bit more now to a series that probably didn't need it. It's already, you know, looks like it's going to be a great series. But now there's a little bit more to keep an eye on, as well as the pine tar and the other things that are going on with the series.
Yeah, somebody asked, how much of a big deal is the Red Sox using pine tar going to be? At the very least, the Astros would be looking for during the game. I don't think it's...
Not here.
I don't think it's going to be a huge deal. I think that it got out there and, you know, there was some of that. Obviously, we saw the tweets and you've seen the pictures and we had Blummer on to talk about it yesterday. But I think Blummer said it best, is it's kind of the unwritten rule that everybody's using it and everybody's doing it. And the Astros have been accused of it enough. I don't think they're going to push it to where they're like, hey, check all those people. Because the last thing they want is their pitchers getting checked. So if you don't think the Astros aren't using it, you're crazy. And the last thing that they're going to want to do is force the issue, because then it'll be like, oh, all right, well, you're going to check our guy? We want that guy checked.
But right now, isn't it at a point where it's just a risk for anybody to use it?
No, it's a risk for anybody to get caught with it. Everybody's going to probably have something. I mean, the good news is they're indoors at Minute Maid for the next couple of games. Going. So it's not outside in the cold. So it's not as big of a problem. It's more climate controlled in there. But they're still going to use something. That's the thing, is I don't think either side wants to make it an issue, because they know both sides are using it.
Yeah, my thing is, in Houston, it's not going to be an issue. But if this series goes 6 or 7 and it goes back, you best believe whether they had it on their agenda to look or not. And if you heard Blummer say that, you know, the umpire Joe West was the one that actually initiated checking Maldonado's glove to start all of this. The fact of the matter is, when it gets back to cold weather, that's when it's going to be something that they're going to be hawking. They're going to be looking for. They're going to be checking the pitchers to see if they actually are. And the other thing is, if you're a pitcher, you have to make it less obvious, because it is a part of the game. But if you remember now, a lot of the guys used to do it under the back padding of their glove in the wrist area. You know, Blummer was talking about some guys even put it in the crotch of their pants.
Which is weird.
Which is completely strange. And it looked like you, especially when you mentioned that pine tar is kind of caramely colored. I don't think I want that.
Uh-uh.
That goes back to your guy from the Diamondbacks that pooped himself in the bullpen that time. But overall, you're right. It's a part of baseball. But I don't think it was blatant the way the Red Sox were doing it on their non-pitching forearms and things like that. And they're going to have to change that for sure. Lots of people were chiming back to me and even saying, as Brewer fans, watching Clayton Kershaw, it's obvious in the middle of the brim of his hat. I think you might have mentioned it yesterday as well. So it's just, they're going to have to be a little bit more conscientious if they're going to try and do it. But it's going to be more of a factor in cold weather, because that's when pitchers need to have their grip.
And as far as Alex Bregman backing it up, I think you don't have to worry about that. This dude right now in the playoffs, I was just running through the stats. This is postseason 2018. Second in average, only behind Aaron Judge, who's no longer there. But him and George Springer hitting .417 and .409. OPS, Alex Bregman leads everyone in the playoffs at 1.708. Second isn't even close, 1.447 with Aaron Judge. And then on base percentage, same thing. It's not even close. Alex Bregman's getting on base 70% of the time, almost 71% of the time. The next closest is Aaron Judge, and then you've got three or four Astros, and then Steve Pierce from the Red Sox. So George Springer, by the way, is having just as good of a postseason, man, as Alex Bregman, and maybe getting a little more love because he was the World Series MVP. But one person you don't have to worry about backing it up is Alex Bregman.
It's not, but is it about him backing it up, or if they lose? Because even if he does well and they lose the series, he's still probably going to get a whole bunch of backlash, right?
I think if he goes out and gets like the golden sombrero, he goes 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts, then he would catch heat. You know, if he gets a couple of hits, and even if the team loses, I don't think so. Because I think most guys know they've probably been in a clubhouse with a guy that's been a crap talker like Alex Bregman. So they know that's not a reflection of the rest of us. That's him. We don't control that Instagram. That's him.
I think it's interesting, though, but that he will catch more heat if they lose the series.
Because of the fans.
Trevor Bauer.
The fans are going to jump on it. And the fact that this was the lovable team that everybody thought did everything the right way and, you know, went about their business building the team to get to the point that they're at now. So there was a lot of people that didn't have a stake in the game that were, I'm an Astros fan because they do it the right way and they're good dudes and everything like that. This is kind of like Barry said, like T.O. in a locker room with the Eagles or something like that. Like, that's not me, that's him. But at some point, it's going to wear off on the fans a little bit. And if they lose the series, he's setting himself up to catch some heat.
It's a good point.
I think so, too.
It's a good point that you make, because I'm thinking more team to team. But you're right. The fans will probably roast that dude just the way that they have been roasting Trevor Bauer.
Yep.
After all that he went through, and now they're really getting after Bauer.
Even Juggalo Trey got blocked by Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, really getting after this dude. So yeah, I could see it going like that.
Yeah, and it's the Clevenger stuff was when everybody started posting the videos, because he said that, you know, there wasn't any difference between the two teams, and then he spouted back, and people went at him. He doesn't block as many people as Trevor Bauer, but yeah, I think it's a bad look for Alex Bregman if they lose the series now.
Could be.
So we got other things we need to talk about. Keuchel's your game 3 starter. I want to get your opinion on that. And AJ Hinch also had interesting comments yesterday about the fact that he may put Altuve in the DH role because the knee still isn't right. So I want to get your opinions on those things as well. So we'll continue to roll on. If you want to talk with us, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line, you can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter.
Yeah, shout out to Kelly Eco, by the way, for bringing us up some alcohol. That was nice of him, man. I'm looking forward to getting into that, man. And I'm allowed to do that now because I'm on that Thrive Plus. I can drink during the week and not suffer as much the next day if I want to do it. Now, look, I'm not a heavy drinker. I drink a moderate amount of alcohol. But even the little amount that I do drink makes me feel less than 100% the next day. And I'll be the first to admit it. Again, the two or three drinks, and boy, it could have an effect on me the next day for the show. That's why I use Thrive Plus. It's a vitamin that you take whenever you drink alcohol. You take three caplets after your last alcoholic beverage or right before you go to bed. But either one. And the point is, it's going to reduce alcohol's negative effects by giving your liver what it needs to process alcohol and the toxic byproducts in it. I'm no scientist. But I've tried it. It works. And I can tell you that for sure. And don't take my word for it. Look, this product was featured on Shark Tank. They've got Ivy League graduates on staff. They've got 5 PhDs on their team. And if you don't feel at least 50% better the next day, the company will give you your money back. So whether it's one drink, five drinks, whatever it is, take those three capsules of Thrive Plus afterwards. It's that simple. You're going to start feeling better when you wake up. And your liver's going to thank you for it. And they're a Houston-based company. So if you order today, before 4 p.m., you'll have it on your doorstep tomorrow. How cool is that? You order your Thrive Plus today before 4 p.m., have it on your doorstep tomorrow. To order, just go to Thrive Plus. Go to DecideThrive.com, or you can Google Thrive Plus on Amazon. Either way, DecideThrive.com. I don't drink without Thrive Plus, and neither should you.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Half hour into the three-hour extravaganza. I call the big show. We feel like it. And it's also called The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We're rolling around talking about some Astros. And my man next to me is as big a baseball fan as I am and breaks it down by the numbers as well. So I wanted to get your opinion, Barry.
Okay.
A couple things that came out of the press conference and everything leading up to Game 3. One, as we all know, Dallas Keuchel's going to be the starter for Game 3 as opposed to Charlie Morton. I personally, and I haven't held back in my feelings, that I just haven't had a lot of confidence in Keuchel. Maybe it's because Ken Giles is gone and I needed to have little confidence in somebody. But, I mean, he's a different kind of pitcher. He's a very precise pitcher, but he doesn't have the velocity. You and I talked about that even in the Indian series. But I was, in my mind, I thought Morton would be a better Game 3 starter. Everything leading up to the fact that, you know, he had higher velocity, big time pitcher in the big time moments last year, and all those different things. Just curious if you thought, hey, right move by AJ, let's go Keuchel first and Morton second.
So I agree with you. I think Morton probably should have started Game 3 because when you look at the year that they've had, mm-hmm. I think Charlie Morton, there's no denying he had a better year on the mound than Dallas Keuchel. I mean, you can look at 15-3 versus 12-11, and that'll tell you right there. The ERA, I mean, Keiko didn't have a horrible ERA. Right. Some of the other numbers weren't bad, but Charlie Morton just put up a better year overall. Here's where, though, the thinking might be with A.J. Hinch, because I'm with you. I would have probably run Charlie Morton out there for this game, but versus the Red Sox for his career, Morton has the Red Sox are hitting the team, the folks that are there, hitting .341 against Charlie Morton, .252 versus Dallas Keuchel.
Okay.
So, I mean,
Keuchel also better at Minute Maid than he is on the road.
Yeah, there's that too. But I think this might be more of a matchup decision where Dallas Keuchel, you know, his numbers across the board are lower versus this Red Sox lineup than what Charlie Morton has put out there. Now, that may not be the case. Maybe he just feels like Keuchel is his three. Maybe also he feels like since, you know, if they were coming back up 2-0, maybe Morton is your three. And you put them down 3-0, and maybe, you know, 1-1, you're feeling okay because you stole one on the road. Maybe if you come down 0-2, I mean, maybe you come down 0-2, Morton is your guy. Keuchel, it's okay to, because you got to win on the road, it's okay to throw him out there in game 3. I don't know what the thinking is, but I'm with you. I would have started Morton. I
just
think
feel
he's
like momentum is big in this series, right? And I think that if you build a lot of momentum, and Morton comes down, mows him down, is overpowering as well, and that breaking ball is working, that you... Having the upper hand going into game 4 is huge. And I just, look, obviously we don't know how the game's going to go today, but I just felt like I'd be more confident heading in with Charlie Morton. And you backed it up beautifully with the numbers. That's what I always appreciate in throwing those things to you. Now, the other thing that came out yesterday, which is something that I think that I had mentioned to Lisa watching the series over the weekend, I said, Altuve just doesn't look right. He's not getting to the low outside pitch like he did. We all know that there is no such thing as a strike zone with Altuve. He can hit it anywhere at any time. But the low outside pitch seemed to be highly effective in a lot of swings and misses for a guy that was great about taking those balls to right field and putting something on them. But now A.J. Hinch comes out and says, the knee still isn't right, and I'm contemplating putting him in the DH slot, evidently, I guess, moving Marwin to second and then replacing Marwin with someone, Tony Kemp or otherwise, in left field and juggling it so that he gets a little less wear and tear on the knee. Your thoughts?
Well, one, I think that if it would surprise me if it is Tony Kemp in left field here. On the road, maybe, but here you could probably get away with having Tyler White out in left field so you don't lose the right-handed bat. And so you're basically just swapping your DH, putting him in left field. You move Marwin to second base. That might make some sense. Going with Kemp isn't going to hurt them either, but that might be something that he does because that left field is easier to play at Minute Maid. But yeah, it's going to be alarming if that's the case, if they do have to make that move. I'll be surprised though if Altuve agrees to that. I think
even if
he's 70%, he's going to want to play the field. He's going to want to be out there.
But think about it. From a defensive perspective, I don't think there was that much that, and especially with the new rules at second base, where the knee is getting a lot of wear and tear, his defense has been great. I think the most wear and tear is we saw him slip out of the batter's box already in the playoffs and then say it was a knee issue. Mm-hmm. We know that, you know, people are worried about any time if he gets the steal sign or AJ being hesitant giving the steal sign because they don't want to aggravate the knee any further. And like I said, I think hitting when he's trying to get to the outside corner, and that's when you put a lot of extra pressure on your joints and your legs that maybe he feels it the most. So I don't know. And I think you're right. I think hopefully Altuve will be the cooler head that prevails to say, look, this is the playoffs. Yeah. They need me. I'm going to go back out there and play second base.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully that's the case, because then I think that'll tell you about where he is physically. If he agrees to it, then you know he really is banged up physically, and it's going to be a tough row to hoe for the remainder of however long this
postseason
is.
Regardless of what happens in the postseason, they got issues in the offseason to make sure that the Correa back issue, the Altuve knee issue, the Springer thumb issue, hopefully those things all get taken care of, whether it be surgically or not, so that they don't keep rearing their heads next year, because it's something that if they linger can make Astros fans be a little bit more than concerned about, you know, going into another season with those kind of injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, Chase is on hold. He wants to talk Astros, so we'll get him in here. Chase, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
Hey, I was going to let y'all know I was watching SportsCenter this morning. Buster Olney at the juice box confirmed that Altuve was going to be batting DH today.
Okay.
DH, so, all right.
Did they say who's going to be playing left field, Chase?
You know, to be honest with you, I want to tell you they did. They didn't. he didn't confirm the starting lineup. He did confirm, Tuve being on DH.
Okay.
But, man, I tell you what, it kind of hurts to think about it now. You know, okay, him back. He's going to – I feel like he's earned the right to hit back, if not play second base, you know, even if he's really hurt. But, man, it'd be nice to have Miles Straw right now as a pinch runner after Altuve, you know, maybe get the hit or a walk. And, you know, and, you know, and to harp on, you know, the good guy image of the Astros.
Uh-oh, Chase.
We lost him.
Yeah, we lost your phone there, Bubba. We got the gist of the call up front, so we appreciate the update.
So I got the lineup for you, but it does, you know, here's the biggest thing. You still got Jake Mariznick, so you don't need Shaw per se, because you have a guy that can run in Jake Mariznick if you need a runner.
Okay.
But he's also a defensive outfielder for you. So the lineup that I've found on MLB.com has Springer in center, Altuve batting second, DH. Marwin will take the five spot, and he will be at second base. Brian McCann is the catcher.
And, oh, really?
And to answer your question, batting ninth in left field is Tony Kemp.
Okay.
So... that's your lineup for your Astros. Springer, Altuve, Bregman, Gurriel, Gonzalez, Reddick, Correa, Brian McCann, and Tony Kemp.
Yeah, Kemp, you know, I think it's a good decision, too. He's hitting like 3-something, 330, something like that in the postseason. So,
he's
good
been
for
a
him.
Good,
maybe
good
more than that, maybe 400.
All year, and he gives you – you don't lose anything speed-wise in the outfield.
Yeah.
And look, and he knows left field, as opposed to putting him in Fenway, where, you know, it's obviously a different kind of wall. We saw Marwin hit the wall the other night. So interesting to see. So Dallas Keuchel, Nathan Eovaldi, it's the Red Sox and the Astros, 4:09, first pitch this afternoon. So we'll continue to roll on. Brandon's on hold. He wants to talk Astros. We'll get him after the break. And then, of course, we'll get to other things. We still can recap Monday Night Football. We can talk about the other series going on between the Dodgers and the Brewers. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, hey, we're here for you for that too. 713-780-3776. That'll allow you to get in via text and or via phone call. And, of course, you can always hit us up on Twitter. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're rolling along. Hour number one, three-hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Talking a little Astros baseball ahead of Game 3 between the Red Sox and Stros. 4:09 first pitch at Minute Maid Park this afternoon.
One thing that does make sense about Kemp, I forget, Eovaldi's a righty. And so having Kemp as a lefty in the lineup does make more sense than Tyler White if you're going to go matchup. But along those lines, so I was looking up what Eovaldi's done against the Astros. 277 batting average, not too bad. 311 on base percentage, not too bad either from a pitching standpoint. But when you look at Maldonado versus Brian McCann hitting 200 versus Nathan Eovaldi versus Maldonado, two hits and four at bats, hitting 500. So,
so Maldonado had two hits
and four at bats
against
Eovaldi.
Wow.
And McCann has two and 10 at bats, four strikeouts and a couple of walks. So,
What's your thought on that?
Somebody texted the show and said, "Is Maldonado out because of the past balls?"
Yeah, is that the after effect?
Probably. You probably want to get McCann in the game, though. He's been sitting for a while. He's old. He's got to get those muscles moving. But I would be willing to bet you that it has a little bit to do with the pass balls and giving Maldonado a day off. Mm-hmm. And a little bit to do with the fact that, you know, you got Keuchel in there. He's probably going to bounce up some balls on occasion. And I don't know, maybe you don't feel comfortable with Maldonado.
Maldonado's known as a defensive catcher, not just the machete because he mows down runners, but this is the first time we've ever spoken and had to speak about mishaps from him behind the plate as a receiver. But the other thing that I think people are sleeping on, it may be that AJ wants a bat in, because everybody looks at Brian McCann as an Astro and was like, he's not really a great hitter. His whole career, he was known as one of the better hitting catchers in baseball.
Yeah.
So you hope that he can.
And to that point, again, he's a lefty. So yeah. You got a righty on the mound, and maybe it makes more sense for him to be in the lineup, even though he's not done well.
Because on the other side of the equation, when you look at the National League, those catching issues reared their head there, too, because yeah. Grandal is now enemy number one of the Dodgers fan base because of the fact that all the mishaps, the pass balls and the things that he had in game one has made him now, you know, public enemy number one in Los Angeles, and he's a member of the home team. So, interesting, though. I've never not felt comfortable having Maldonado behind the plate.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's probably the fact that it's a lefty-righty matchup, even though you would think he would take into account intended bats, he's got two hits, so where is that really helping you? Mm-hmm. But okay, you've got the lefty-righty matchup. Maldonado had the bad game. He's caught the last couple of games. Maybe you just give him a break.
The other thing that you and I talked about in the break, Astros better be ready. Red Sox are going to run because they know that the difference between the arms of the two guys, they're going to look for opportunities when they get guys on base. When Betts gets on base, when Bogarts gets on base, when Bradley Jr. gets on base, they're going to go.
It's going to be a little bit more difficult though with Keuchel on the mound.
True lefty.
Because he's a lefty, he's going to see it. He's got a good pickoff move and he's hard to run on. So that probably is part of the thinking behind it. Well, now I can get McCann in the game. I've got a lefty on the mound and Keuchel's good at throwing over.
Not as big a liability.
Exactly. And you know, I looked at it because this was all the things that I broke down prior to this postseason, but from a caught stealing perspective, Astros were 12th in baseball and throwing out runners. Not as bad as you would think.
No, but you had Stassi, who was Stassi was tops in terms of throwing guys
out.
But
the two guys was Stassi and McCann. I mean, McCann was the guy for
until
a while.
The trade, right?
And then they brought in Maldonado. And Maldonado is one of the best. I think Pena and Milwaukee is probably the best. But Maldonado is up there as one of the two or three best.
And you can't sleep on my man in St. Louis, who, no matter how old he gets.
Molina.
Molina's just unreal.
Yadier.
He's a great catcher, so he'll probably be in the Hall of Fame someday. All right, we're still talking Astros, so Brandon wants to get in here, talk a little about the Stros. Brandon, what's up?
Hey, guys, how are you? So at first I was just going to confirm that the lineup was out, but I guess you guys figured that out. And Tony Kemp batting ninth seems kind of funny to me. I think he's speedy, right? I think he'd want him a little higher in the lineup, and he's been –
I'll tell you,
on
Brandon,
here
Hinch has done that all year, and he's had a motive behind that. There's a method to his madness. Mm-hmm. He likes having Kemp in the 9-0, because I'm with you. I would think that guy would be higher up, but what they do is they like having Kemp kind of being a second or third inning table setter for the top of that lineup again. So they actually like him being at 9.
Yeah, they call it the secondary leadoff because of the fact that, he's an inning starter down at the bottom as well when the lineup rolls over.
I had a question, too, looking ahead to, I guess it'll be Thursday night's matchup, is slated as Sale versus Verlander, right?
Tentatively, yes. It depends on the series of games.
Right, because my curiosity was if Chris Sale was still in the hospital.
No, he's out. He's on his way back to Houston as we speak. He should be there. They're expecting him, I think, prior to game time today. So he'll be back, so I don't think that should be an issue. So we got that out of the way. Okay, Brandon, we appreciate the call, man. Don't be a stranger. That was good stuff. Still talking Astros there. So if you were to make a prediction today, what are you expecting the final outcome to be?
I think the Astros probably win this game. Uvaldi has pitched well down the stretch, but I kind of warned you against the Yankees. I think he's better than people think, but he can be gotten. I mean, he's not the ace of back-to-backs. Yeah, he can be guy. That was in Tampa, and he's obviously pitched better since he came over, mm-hmm. similar to kind of like Presley and some of the guys in this bullpen and on this staff in general. I guess just because they're at home and Bregman's got to go out and back up what he did, and I think they're motivated. I don't think that, you know, they're not down, certainly. They went to Boston and got a split, so they're probably feeling pretty good about themselves. I think it'll be a good game, but Astros, I think, will win this game.
I think Astros will pull it out. I think they'll win by a run. I think it might be the closest game of the series so far, but I am concerned. I'm concerned about Keuchel. I'm concerned a little bit about some of these lineup changes, and I'm concerned about the fact that this was not a good team at home this year. Remember, like, you mm-hmm. were given the number. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You had the best road team in baseball in the Astros, the best home team in the Red Sox. But I hope that the Astros revert to what they were at home a year ago in the playoffs and kind of get that clean slate, erase what happened in the regular season this last year, because they were disappointing at home. So hopefully they put that behind them.
They had a winning record, but they weren't by any stretch, you know, world beaters.
Right. And the good thing
is, they were away.
Guys that weren't hitting at home or hitting for the season have already stepped up big in the playoffs. Marwin.
Yep.
And Josh Reddick. You know, guys like that. They've already big contributors in the playoffs so far. And Tyler White, obviously, picked up where he left off late in the season. So hopefully those guys can keep it going and keep it moving. But Tyler White out of the lineup today, as you had mentioned, as a guy that possibly could have played left field. So we'll see how that plays
somebody
out.
Somebody said that even Granato had mentioned it, which I didn't know this to be true. Maybe I just didn't pay attention. But they said McCann is Keuchel's personal catcher.
I've never heard that.
I didn't know that to be true, but okay. I guess I just didn't either pay attention or had never seen nor heard that. But all right, that makes sense too, I suppose.
Okay. All right, so all those things factored in. So we've got a big one this afternoon. Looking forward to catching that. Red Sox and the Astros from Minute Maid Park. So we're an hour into the show. We still have plenty more to get to. That means there's plenty of football to talk about. There's another series in the National League to talk about. There's a college football All-American that's just withdrawn from school today. So we can possibly talk about that as well to get ready for the NFL draft. And get healthy. So there's lots of things on our agenda. But if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, you want to join the show like Brandon just did, just call 713-780-3776 or text that number. Or better yet, you can always hit us on Twitter where it's at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is Funny. Hour number two is right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.